الحمد لله رب العالمين، لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو أعلى كل شيء قدير، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبيك وآله آله وسلم. الحمد لله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and gathered us again for another Salat Sujuna. For this is indeed a blessed day in the life of a believer, because this is that special day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out and ordered the believers to leave aside all of their worldly pursuits and come together in a jama'ah, in a group setting, so that we may encourage one another to do what is right and discourage one another from doing what is wrong, and that we may be of help and assistance to one another. Amen. Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Allah has indeed blessed us with another Ramadan. An extraordinary opportunity to engage in an intense form of ibadah, of worship. An opportunity to assess and evaluate ourselves and our progress in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is indeed a special month and a great opportunity for us to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This afternoon I'd like to share with you some thoughts that I have been pondering on this basic fundamental activity that we are engaged in now, which is the fast. And the ayat that we recite every year commands us to fast is interesting. Baqarah 183 simply says, fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed to those that came before you, that you may learn or become or acquire or attain Takakuna. Two words in here that I think we recite them so often, but we don't stop and ponder what they really mean. Because when we understand what they really mean, it will definitely influence our perception of what we're doing. And because Quran is revealed in Arabic, we have to go to the root of the word and understand what is this Arabic word, what does it mean, what are as many implications as possible to increase our understanding of it. Similarly, if your parents sent you to the store, wrote a note to get something from the store, wrote down a note, go to the store and get kumfwatit. So you have to know what it is. So you get to the store and you might ask somebody, you might say, so they might end up giving you some sugar and some salt instead of kutta, some bread, and dita, some butter. So we as Muslims, we have been listening to this, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those who came before you, so you that may well. The other key word, first key word, is kutiba. the other key word that we have to understand is Tathāgata. I think before we go to Tathāgata, we need to really analyze Kutipa. Translations are many and varied, depending on where you see it in Quran. Most often they translate it as prescribed, but it really comes from a root kataba of something written, like you write a note. So it is written for us that we should fast. Okay? But if you go with the understanding of a prescription that has a little different or much different connotation. Because what is a prescription? It's something written, but what does it imply? It implies that a doctor or someone who has great knowledge and has interviewed you or assessed your problem, knows that you have a problem, and they've now given you a prescription for an ailment that you have or a deficiency that you have. Whether it's a herb doctor or whatever kind of doctor it is, gives you to understand you have a problem, and here's the prescription. I'll write it down and write it out now. You have to do the second part, which is fill the prescription. So that word prescription and prescribed for you have interesting implications. And we have some ailments inside of us that a lot of times what that I know. So he has prescribed something for us to cure an ailment, a disease, a problem. And what is it? Fasting, so that we may get this thing called Tathāgata. So what is the Tathāgata? Well, you read most translations, how do they describe it? Interesting. So that you may fear Allah, so that you may attain righteousness. Well, in a sense, that doesn't make sense. We're fasting so we can become afraid of Allah. Kind of like that. That doesn't make sense. So yesterday I fasted and I became a little more afraid of Allah. That doesn't make sense. That translation, although most translators use that, doesn't make sense. So what are we looking for here? Tathāgata. Fear? No. We have to go back, first use that first word prescription, and now put it in the context, something's wrong. We need some help. And this fasting is going to get us someplace to do something. Well, Tathāgata comes from taqwa. So that means we have to understand what does taqwa mean before we understand what are we doing the fast? What are we trying to achieve by the fast? We know in fasting we're going to stop eating, drinking, and abstain from sex. Okay. But what are we trying to achieve? So we're trying to achieve taqwa. Go back to taqwa. In so many translations, taqwa is translated as fear of Allah. But we have to go another step back. What is the root of taqwa? It's taqwa. Awareness. To be aware. To be aware. The connotation is here. To be aware of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be aware. Understand what is this relationship. Before I go too far on that, I want to come back because the fasting from food and drink is interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have told us something else. But food and drink, the most basic, fundamental element of all creatures. We have to eat and we have to drink. And all the creatures have to eat and we have to drink. So, interestingly enough, this comprises a most fundamental, basic relationship that we have with our Creator. That is our food and our drink. Just, I'm thinking last night when I broke my fast, I went to a restaurant and they put this plate of food on my tables that I ordered, and rice, and three kinds of meat, and salad. It was placed in front of me. And as we all take this divine study, wait a minute. There was something beyond the realm of my comprehension that just took place there, the phenomenon of eating some food. Well, in order for food to grow, it comes out of what? The earth. Not just the earth, the sunshine, the rain, all of those things which go back to our sustainer. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, created this whole beautiful, miraculous way that we indulge in every day of eating. Just think about it. The rice. All that stuff that was on your plate last night. Rice, the meat, the vegetables, all different. It didn't matter. So amazing that you can have some beets, some lettuce, some onions all growing right next to each other, but totally different. That's amazing. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave us to eat from a source that is truly beyond the realm of our comprehension. We cannot totally comprehend and list all of those factors that enabled food to grow on this planet Earth. And then we ate vegetables, then the meat, animals, ate all these grains, it got real big, and then somebody took a sharp piece of steel and cut it. We don't think about that. There, even every day that we eat, think about this a little. Every day we eat, 2, 3, 4 times a day. But we never consider our relationship with our sustainer who enabled this phenomenon of food. Every day. That's the most basic, fundamental relationship with our Lord. He gave us food to eat from, you know, a way that is beyond the realm of our comprehension. I mean, just stuff we say, okay, you take a seed, you put it in it. Where did the seeds come from? Why are all these seeds so different? It's amazing. Certain lands just produce lots of food. And even if you go to the North Pole where stuff is not growing out of the ground, those people eat. They're eating stuff that they got out of the ocean. And it's amazing. But that's our Lord. That's the most basic, fundamental relationship with our Creator. The food we eat. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, stop eating the food. Don't eat all day long. Some people imply that fasting is to remind us of the poor people that don't eat. No. Far from it. Why? Because every one of us knew that when the sun set, we were going to get something to eat. Poor people that don't eat don't know that. That's a whole different way of being. So we can't relate to a person who didn't eat all day and didn't eat for a couple of days with ourselves and fasting. There's no comparison. Just that's beyond us. We knew when the sun set we were going to eat and all of us ate. So that's not a relationship to poor people. So this fasting is beyond that. Something much deeper than relating to poor people and hungry people. I think it's that deep, fundamental relationship with the quality of us and our sustainer who created all of this, laying out the earth like a carpet, sunshine, air. Please move up here, won't you? Move up here, if you will. Laying out the earth, sent down the rain, all of the grains, all of the animals that we eat. Our Lord and sustainer gave this to us. And we partake of it every day of our lives without giving it that much thought. And the worst of us are those who were born and raised in a city and walk into Bond and Ralph and get it in a packet or a box. We just don't even give the thought to what, how did all this stuff happen? How did it happen in such a wonderful, miraculous way? So this taqwa, I think, that we are trying to attain in Ramadan, this is one small aspect. But when we consider the concept of taqwa, it's the awareness of our total relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every person, depending upon their level and where they're at right now, will ponder on different aspects. Because no human being is capable of comprehending the totality of our relationship and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human being. We all are evolving creatures. Wherever we are at this given time, at this moment, in our spiritual evolution. But fasting is the first step. The first step is like the beginning. It's like the tricycle. Fasting isn't the end. It's only one small step in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stimulate us, to jog us, to make us stop and think of the things we do every day as a routine, which for sure is eating and drinking. Stop the routine. Ponder these basic fundamental routines that we do every day, eating and drinking, have implications beyond the realm of our comprehension. Eating and drinking. Not to mention, once we eat it and drink it, how it's processed in this body created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, just amazing how food is broken down and distributed throughout the body in every cell, from the bottom of the soles to the braids and the hairs. Just, it's amazing. It's beyond the realm of our comprehension. But the believer, by the very nature of the fact that we say we are believers, must stop and ponder these phenomena, or else we become a biological creature, like a grazing animal, like cattle you see grazing, heads to the ground, and just looking for the next piece of grass that he can chew on and digest. And we're much more than that as human beings. Much more than eating, drinking creatures. We are a creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily He raises him up to be the highest of the high, or allows him to debate himself to be the lowest of the low. And the debating, the debauchery of ourselves when we're the lowest of the low, is when we forget for a moment about our sustainer and our relationship with that sustainer in what we have. Eyesight, hearing, thinking, walking, talking, eating, drinking, smelling, all of that. Those things, by the very nature of the fact that we have it, and we've always had it, we have a tendency to take it for granted. So fasting and Ramadan in the time of stop and increase our awareness. Go back to Taqwa. Be aware. Be aware of what's happening. Not around us, but in us, individually. Because my fasting does nothing for your fasting, and your fasting does nothing for his fasting. It's individual. It's you, me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are we going with this? What is our spiritual evolution? Are we the same this Ramadan as we were last Ramadan? Are we struggling with the same issues? Or, as our awareness increased, to be acutely aware that we are an evolving spiritual creature that should be evolving and never stagnant. to the issues that we dealt with last year should have been resolved spiritually, and that Ramadan should have catapulted us up to another, higher level. And if that has not happened, then we missed the whole point. We were just hungry and thirsty people. And you can tell, particularly when you break your fast in a mosque around other Muslims, if the people around you were just hungry and thirsty people, or did that day of fasting take them someplace else? Yeah. When the food is laid out on the table and those most basic fundamental animalistic instincts arise, I'm hungry and there's food and drink, and the line starts to form and people don't respect you in the line. Basic fundamental element. You're in line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're the fifth person, and 5 people get in front of you and you start going to the back. Somebody didn't get it to disrespect me and my efforts and all the people behind me by piling in front of me and pushing the line backwards, grabbing a humongous plate full of food when all those people back there didn't take that into consideration. All it was hunger and thirst. They missed it all. Didn't get it. Now, fasting didn't produce anything. Back to the prescription. The doctor can give you the prescription, but if you just take it and read it, okay, the prescription says fasting is prescribed to you, it's prescribed to those before you, blah, 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 blah. You can read it 1,000 times, but did you take the prescription to the pharmacy and get it fulfilled? And then take it as directed. You can tell it yourself. Did I, okay, here's the prescription. Did I fill it? And did I take it as directed? It's a really, Ramadan is a necessity. Interesting, because the hadith of the Prophet someone said that in Ramadan, Shaitan is chained up. Oh. Because normally we say, oh man, I'll get that. Shaitan made me do that. Now, the influence of the Shaitan, however, if we except this hadith that the Prophet allegedly said that in Ramadan the shaitan is chained up, that means all that stuff that we're doing and thinking is really us, not the shaitan. It's really us. That we have not worked on our mental processes and our desires. We haven't worked on it. As a result, it's controlling us. It's controlling us. Look in the mirror. Whoa, I was thinking that. Whoa, did I say that? That's really me. That's not the same time. So Ramadan is that proverbial mirror. Look in the mirror. Not around, but in the mirror at ourselves. Who are we? What are we? What are we evolving to? So, in conclusion, fasting is prescribed like a medicine to us, as it was prescribed to those, all of the believers that came before us, like it was a medicine to them, so that we may attain a state of acute awareness of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all that He has created around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and all of us to guide us all in the process. Still people standing in the back of mid. Move all the way up and squeeze yourself because we have people standing in the back. Come up. Move all the way up. Okay. Make room in the mosque here. Allah will make room for you. Come on up. Come on. Make room and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make room for you. In general, inshallah. Now the other place. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي وعلى آله وسلم. In conclusion, my beloved brothers and sisters, fasting is an interesting phenomenon that we've all voluntarily engaged in. And there's another interesting byproduct of it that I find so intriguing. And that is, in the realm of self-discipline, all of us struggle with personality and spiritual defects inside of us. Thoughts, actions, words, every human being. But our spiritual evolution is all about self-discipline. And when I think about the most difficult bad habits that I tried to break over my life, such as smoking, things of that nature, interesting the struggle thereof, how it does it, and how we look upon that struggle, whether it's backbiting, whether it's whatever. Every human being has a struggle. But we also have a power inside of us that we often don't even think about. And I'll tell you, it's interesting how we all experience it. We all started fasting on the second day. We started fasting on Wednesday. On Monday and Tuesday, we lived our normal lives. We ate and drank and all the things that we did. And then, on Tuesday night, somehow or another, we got called, or we found out through whatever method that the next day was Ramadan and fasting. And an interesting phenomenon happened. Mm-hmm. We changed our entire lifestyle. Bam! The next day. Just stopped. Smoking stopped. The gum chewing stopped. That Starbucks coffee stopped in the morning. All of it stopped. And we went into a whole different realm of being. Of self-discipline. No food, no drink. No sex, none of that. Just bam! Went into it. Interesting. That tells all of us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a power deep inside of us that we don't even think about. Because if we consider this ayah revealed 1400 years ago, we didn't see the Prophet. We just believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do this. We just believe it. We can't prove it. Nobody can even prove that there's Allah. It's a belief inside of us. This belief is so strong that these words that somebody said, that a man said God revealed it to him, is so strong that it changed our life. Bam! One day, just the thought, bam! A whole other way of living. We just stopped eating and drinking. Nobody called us up like a parent and said, okay, Muhammad, you know tomorrow's Ramadan. You can't eat. Nobody did that. Nobody played any little bit. We just stopped. Every year we do it. Which shows and illustrates that each and every one of us, all of us, have a power inside of us, untapped. We can draw upon it anytime we want. Doesn't have to be rushed out. Anytime we desire, we have a power so strong inside of us that we can stop smoking, we can stop drinking, we can stop fornicating, we can stop backbiting, we can stop criticizing, we can start loving, we can start forgiving. Instantaneously. Because if you can do it, switch real so quickly from a way of life, and bam, Wednesday, change that quickly. You can't, it's there. We just forget that we have the power, which consists of belief. Belief, iman. We believe that we're supposed to be fasting. You believe you can change your life with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do anything. We are powerful people beyond our imagination, beyond the realm of our comprehension. We have it inside of us. You illustrated it to yourself on Wednesday morning when you started fasting, and you sustained it the whole day. And it's even more pronounced and enhanced when it becomes a spiritual experience as opposed to a physical one. Those who are still on the plane of the physical one, is, bacon, pass by that Burger King and I can smell that hamburger with the onions and the mustard on it. It's a physical struggle. Oh, I can do it. Whereas when you go beyond that to the spiritual plane, you smell it, but so what? Fasting is sweeter than the struggle. The struggle is in the submission. The struggle is the beauty of just doing it. Alhamdulillah, my Lord ordained this upon me. I'm doing it to please Allah because Allah prescribed it to me and He knows what's the best thing for me. And I'm doing the best thing that I can do at this moment. The best. There's nothing that we could do that's better than fasting at this moment. Nothing that we could do that's better. And the reward is beyond the realm of our comprehension. So I said the reward is as wide as the heavens and the earth. It's wide. And it's beyond your imagination what's in jail. It's almost futile to talk about what's in jail, what eyes have never seen, what ears have never heard, what symptoms have never perceived, beyond our imagination. And it's at hand. It's within reach. And in conclusion, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his slaves, do not ever be in despair of my mercy, for I forgive all sins, and I am the all-merciful and all-forgiving. Know it in your heart. We don't have to torture ourselves. You don't have to stay up all night torturing yourself to be better. Allah already gave it to us. A guarantee. He said it. You don't believe it? He said it. Say to my slaves, don't ever be in despair of my mercy and forgiveness because I forgive all sins. And he said, I am Ghafoor Rahim. Named himself that. He didn't say, I'm the torturer, I'm the one that's so mean and vengeful that you got to stay up all night and lose it. No, do whatever you can in Ramadan. Don't torture yourself. Do whatever you can and know that Allah is the all-merciful, the all-forgiving, and accepts from his slaves what they have to offer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on all of us, and God is all the closer to God. Allah have mercy on us, forgive us our sins and evil deeds, and minister the Lord into your mercy and forgiveness on our dying day and the day of judgment. Save us all, Allah, from the fires of hell and the agony of the grave, and from vanity, arrogance, enviousness, jealousy, and selfishness among ourselves. O Allah, so order us that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which you have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please you, and administer, Lord, by your rahmah to the ranks of your righteous servants. And O Allah, please unite us and all of our family members in the religion of Islam, and let us all die as Muslims. Truly, O Lord, that is a great victory. Amen.